Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. As the Putin's biography episode is in process, but I still have to keep up with all the news here and answer some important questions that are going on everywhere, especially since some people who apparently heard me on Daryl's show for the first time ever, yeah, you know, I read some Facebook comments and there are people who are just shocked, just suddenly super shocked when I claim that Putin really doesn't care about the well-being of Russian people and that he basically just cares about himself and his clique. That apparently is extremely shocking to quite a few people, which makes me feel surprised because that is, I think, one of the least controversial things that I've said on this episode and in these shows in general. Because, yeah, if you go back to my past shows about how everything has been going on so far and how Russian economy works, yeah, you'll notice that Putin's government has been just busy basically destroying Russian economy and oppressing Russian people. Also, it's one of the reasons why this war isn't going so well for Russia, since, well, if they had been competent and, would have spent less time stealing from their own country, then sadly Ukraine would have fallen by now, but it hasn't. But to answer some questions, first of all, about the no-fly zone. I did a little digging or whatever, and the problem is that it just wouldn't be as effective, really. For one, Russia can take out planes, they're pretty good at that, and they also have a lot of bombardment from within their own territory, so this no-fly zone would involve an attack on Russian territory. Also, yeah, it's just that those planes, they're just part of the problem. A lot of the problem are the rocket blasts. So I think that the current solution, which seems to be the current solution, of selling Ukraine the missile systems, that's a big one. That's a thing that actually could matter way more than a no-fly zone, even though my own government has just voted for it. Also, my own government banned a bunch of websites, and now I actually asked for VPN myself, since, yeah, I do have to read RIA Novosti and other sites, and now, if you follow me on Twitter, you can easily see that, Russian agency sources or whatever, yeah, those things happen. But, interestingly enough, I believe that there's another little element that Putin hadn't counted on, because I believe he really believed that he'll be expected with open arms, and that would be certain dates coming on in the future. First of all, well, the International Workers Day. 1st of May. See, that's the thing. Conscription starts on April, right? So they'll all just be sent and drafted, those who can be drafted, because, yeah, mobilization is a massive, massive issue. And then there's a training process and everything, and they need to report, and they need to sign, and they can also, they'll be quite encouraged to sign a contract and become enlisted, or kontraktnik, I call enlisted those people who've signed the contracts, and everyone else is just a conscript. I think that's how it works. Not really sure, though. But the thing is, starting with May, that's where, basically, that's where the height is going to hit, since it takes some time for everyone at the beginning of the April to get organized and get trained and everything. And that's also the moment where the previous contracts end. Well, not just contracts, but also these called срочники, or conscripts. They serve for a year, right? And they're on the spot and they'll be sent home, technically. And Russia does usually, you know, adhere to those rules. So, with all this, it's kind of interesting since everyone there, apparently, according to information, yeah, at this point, basically the new conscripts won't have any basic training, because a lot of these people who have been kind of remaining and who would be doing the training, they're in front lines now. So, if previously we heard reports of Russian army being under-trained, oh boy, then these guys will be just totally bullet meat. And apparently, Russian ground forces are approximately 35% conscript, and their воздушные десантные войска, or their kind of air forces, which also include their paratroopers, that's about 30% conscript, and it's going to be a huge mess. So they're gonna have a logistical nightmare even bigger than they have, and they're going to have a political nightmare if they don't mobilize, and they can't mobilize because that's a political suicide, and in Putin's case, literal suicide. So, yeah, I don't even know if this doesn't end by the May 1st somehow, then it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be mess inside Russia. It's going to get terrible for everyone. So, heard reports that that Putin might actually do what I've been saying that he'll do for a while, and that basically, well, a lot of bad things could happen. A lot of dies, a lot of deaths, really a lot of deaths. However, on the kind of more Russian economy front and everything, the weird part was the fact that Dr. Ian Garner, well, he follows the show, and he retweeted an article from basically a mainstream newspaper in Russia. I can't really see which one, because apparently he blocked it, but, well, it seems legit, and he was shocked about... Oh, this author was by Pyotr Akopov, and he wrote in this article that, quote, "The era of post-Soviet transition, that of doublethink, dual faiths, indistinctness and duplicity, is over. We're going to live in the USSR again, but not the USSR of the anti-Soviet sphere or the communists dream of. No, we're going to build a just, strong and sovereign USSR. We won't build this with the wave of a magic wand. Doing so will even be harder than winning on the battlefield. It will require the mobilization of strength, spirit, will, and faith. It won't be done in a year, even a decade. The outgoing elite, thieves, possessed by a mental slavery to the West. They despise their own people. There is no going back. We will be independent. And the most important independence is spiritual, in our heads, in our thinking. Our thinking has to become Russocentric." So, yeah, they want to root out everyone who's being un-Russian in thinking or culture. Complete political purge, and quite much racist as well, because if you're not a purebred Slav, oh boy. And public encouragement to build a new empire all over the old Soviet Union, which, if you might have noticed, I live in the old previous Soviet Union, so it's going to be fun. Why I'm mentioning this is because all these news and all this stuff, well, as much as I respect Mr. Garner, he posts that it's shocking and mind-boggling. However, well, however, for me, it's not shocking at all. Again, if you've listened to basically anything we've said on the show in the previous history episodes, that's just something that they've been telling all the time. So if you're reading some articles and are feeling shocked, hey, go back to some more historical episodes. They'll do something interesting. Also, what's important to note is that Kurils have also entered the picture. For the first time ever, Japanese, as far as I get it, sorry, I used Google Translate for that one, but I had to double check on the sources, and indeed, Japan's government now basically calls Kurils their core territory, and they state that Russia is an occupier, which gives you a marking point, since between... they were negotiating about the Kurils, which means that they were supposed to give something for them. Currently, the Japan's position is that they're going to get them either way, and that Russia should just get lost of there. That might turn interesting. Again, by the way, about these, still no news from Azerbaijan. I hope that was a fake. Really do. But Medvedev, old guy who hasn't been relevant for a while, but he's still used as a spokesperson now and then stated, quote, "Russia has declined any talks about a peace treaty with Japan. In the context of the future of Kurils, such a decision is historically meaningful, just, and reasonable." So all of a sudden, turns out that Kurils are still in the air. In the meantime, also, turns out that Russia has huge, huge supply issues, and they're forcing basically people... to send them gifts. Reuters reported that local officials in Russia's Belgorod region bordering Ukraine have set up collection points where citizens can drop off donations of socks, medicine, and tinned food for Russian troops fighting in Ukraine. And I thought that was a fake, but then I understood that we had another report with pictures, no less, that in school number 61 in Rostov-on-Don, they collect various things from 8-year-old kids to support Russian military. Basically the first necessity items. And although Lyubov Sobol, who posted this, she also posts that, you know, the defense budget was 3.5 trillion rubles in last year, but apparently that's gone. But she posted what really made it interesting. She posted a pic sent to the parents, and there are a couple of points there. First of all, was that number one, each grade, each class gathers a package of giving something to the 22nd Brigade of the Special Assignments. What will be written on the box that they give it is, quote, writing on the box, sweet gifts to the Russians' hero soldiers from the students of blank grade, insert grade there. Three, with exclamation points, three exclamation marks on each side. Letter to the soldier, with mandatory words of saying thank you, and you're allowed to add a drawing if you want to for the kids, right? All of this is, of course, happiness is mandatory style, totally voluntary, blink if you're being held hostage, that sort of thing. And then there are all the products that they want to send in this package. They want to send ramen noodles, chocolate, candy, some coffee, some jam, dried fruits, tea, like razor blades, socks, really, socks, and those wet wipes. Now, that's a bit silly. That's just a bit silly. However, also an interesting thing happened that also shows the situation is that currently, Russian IRS service, well, what serves their IRS, is now basically allowing businesses to not give out receipts to people because they can't do it in paper form. Because as it turns out, Russia itself does not produce paper, since one of the really good things that you need to produce paper is some sort of weird and widening chemical or something of that sort, and Finland does not deliver it anymore, so they have a deficit of paper. And especially the receipt paper, because apparently it costs ridiculous amounts of money by normal standards, or so people told me who work with these things. And the prices of that have gone up by 450%, and the stocks are dropping, so there are businesses that simply can't give out receipts. This is a major economical issue because, one, if you don't have to give out receipts, then you don't have to pay taxes. If you don't have to pay taxes for it, then, well, it's Russia. Of course, everything is corrupt, and they won't pay taxes for it. And secondly, if you can scam a customer, you will scam a customer. That's just how it works. Meanwhile, Ukrainians have captured, according to reports, a small town 60 kilometers from Kiev, which is good. Mariupol is getting leveled and destroyed completely. People there, I think, are just fighting because, well, what else are they going to do? They have no option of turning back. And, well, not much else has changed in the front directly. But again, Russia might be gathering these supplies and soldiers for another strengthened push. So, we'll see what happens. I'll keep you updated. Also, to those of you who don't like the ads, you can go to theeasternborder.lv and listen from there. That's a whole separate feed. No ads there. Our patrons also get every episode without ads. Talking about that, you can become our patron, please do. Or you can click the donate button on theeasternborder.lv. And of course, donate to Ukrainian charities. This is it for today, and I hope that I'll finish my Putin's bio long episode tomorrow. До свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory.